Let's go to chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews, and what a blessing. Now, we've been studying Melchizedek in the book of Hebrews, and we found out that he's a high priest of the Most High God, and that he actually ministered to Father Abraham, and it turns out he was a pre-incarnate visitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus actually did what's called a Christophany about 10 times in the Old Testament, as you go through with Joshua and others, and just an amazing thing, because he's always been around. He's always been our high priest, and he's a forever high priest, as we learned about Melchizedek last week. Now, in verse 11, the writer to the Hebrews, which we basically believe is the Apostle Paul, but he doesn't mention his name, so we're not completely sure. But it's the Lord, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Actually says about Melchizedek in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. So there, these Hebrews that they were writing to, were being written to, had a problem with being dull of hearing. And so he wanted to give this exhortation here at the end of the chapter, verses 11 through 14, about being dull of hearing. And then in chapter 7, as we saw, he picked up again with Melchizedek, and we learned more things about him. So I wanted to address that this day. I certainly have been suffered with this, let me put it that way, or it's been sin in my life to be dull of hearing. And so I wanted to sharpen us today as Christians. Just the fact that you guys are here, you want to hear. So don't worry too hard about this. You came to church. It is good to be sharpened, to be careful of falling into the place of being dull of hearing the Word of God. And that's a place none of us ever want to go. But I thought I'd just start out with my own testimony about this when the Lord revealed it to me. Years ago, Sherry and I attended Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa when it was still a little church there before they built the tent. And we were in the courtyard listening to a sermon by Pastor Chuck on a Wednesday night. And you know, I just had this feeling that I hated having, and didn't know what was wrong completely at that point. But I just said, you know what? I am tired of listening to the teaching of Pastor Chuck, if you can believe that. But I just, it was the truth about me. And I thought, what is wrong with me? And then as time went on, I began to realize that God had been speaking to me about starting Bible studies in our home for a bunch of girls. Our babysitter got saved and she had friends, and to start teaching. And I was kind of dragging my feet on that, and that is what really made me dull of hearing. And as I began then to teach and to listen and obey God's desire for what he had for my life, man, did I ever get hungry for the Word, because I didn't know how to do this. I got to go listen to Pastor Chuck. And man, I was on the edge of my chair on Sunday nights for years. And he would teach sometimes 2.5 hours on Sunday nights, because he had the Jesus people that were just, and they needed to learn the Word of God. And so he would just teach and go through the Bible for 2.5 hours every Sunday night. And I just remember being so hungry to hear it. And of course, there's many in our church that can relate to that, where you just get powerfully hungry to hear the Word of God and to not be dull of hearing, but having sharp ears to hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. Because I didn't know how to teach, but God called me to teach. And so I had to learn how to teach real fast. And so I was there to get my seminary experience through Pastor Chuck, who had been in the Word for many years. And so that's my testimony about being dull of hearing. Now, when I looked up this situation through some Greek scholars, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, one of my favorite Bible commentators I read, very good Greek scholars. And in their definition of this Greek that's used to say dull of hearing, there is this idea, hard to move. And I thought, boy, does that ever fit the definition of what happened to me? I was hard to move. I did not want to move in what God had for my life. I kind of wanted to do it my way and kind of be all filled with myself and what myself wants. It was hard to move, dull of hearing. And you know, the Lord, He just wants to move us out and move us up and into a lovely design for our lives that works for us. Because you see, other things just don't work. And poor people are staggering around out there not knowing which way is up because they're not hooked in to the Lord and to what God has designed them to do. Because the Lord is like a rich landholder that went away to a far country and left every man and every woman their work. And that is the way it is. And that's what Jesus said in one of the parables that He spoke. And so dull of hearing. Well, let's go on to verse 13 now. Read verses 12 and 13. It says, For the time you ought to be teachers, and really we ought to all be teachers, because the Scripture says, be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you the question about the faith that's inside you. We should be ready to teach and to share gently and fervently and with love to anyone that would ask us. How come there's a big smile on your face? You should wipe that smile off your face. It bugs me. I'm depressed. What are you smiling about? I'm smiling about Jesus Christ and that He's going to come and make all of this right and deliver us from this present evil generation. And we begin to share our hearts. And as Chelsea was sharing about the portico, what a blessing. It's a place for people to meet. And they come in, they ask questions, and you get to answer the questions. And we should all be ready to do that at a drop of a hat, to put on actually the shoes or the footwear of the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes. And so it says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again what be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful. This is an important word right now. Unskillful, or NIV translation, unacquainted, not acquainted with the word of righteousness. For he is a baby. Man, I don't want to stay a baby to you. I'm a baby Christian, and I've been a baby Christian for 40 years now. Bummer. You need to grow. And you know the milk is necessary, the milk of the Word. And let's read a scripture about that. I'll quote it to you. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. The object is to grow, not to remain a baby your whole life. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, sometimes baby Christians tend to be legalistic, a little on the legalistic side. But they need to grow in grace. We need to all continue to grow in the grace of God. And so as we taste the Lord's Word, we grow and we see that He is gracious and we begin to mellow. Don't you just love those seasoned, older Christians that are just going, hey, hang loose, man. Let's just kick back in the Lord and trust Him for the answers and not get so upset. And I love ladies and men like that. I guess I'm kind of getting there. I don't know. I still feel like a kid sometimes until I look in the mirror. Ah! But, you know, there's always those older folks in the church that are just a blessing, because they've been up and down the roads and round and through the valleys, and they just smile and just bless you and let their Holy Ghost eyeballs just give you a jolt. You know, it's always so great. And so we don't want to remain babies. We want to grow up. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful. And I think this is a hint towards what we're going to see in verse 14. That's about doing the word. It's about doing it, to be skillful in it, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah. That's what God has for us. And it's something that takes us away from babyhood. Not good to remain a baby. Now, I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, because we have actually an example of being unskillful or unacquainted with the word. So let's go ahead to 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. It's right past Romans. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. The Apostle Paul is a little bit upset with the church at Corinth. He had founded this church. He loved these people. And he's kind of having to reprove them for some things, some problems they were going through. But he says, brothers, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. He's just being honest with them. He's saying, but as unto carnal or worldly. That's what carnal means. Even as unto babes in Christ. So they're still acting like babies. I remember a testimony about Pastor Romaine. I think I've shared this with you before, but it is so apropos for this verse, babies in Christ. This guy came into his office down there at Calvary Costa Mesa. Pastor Romaine used to be a DI, a drill instructor in the Marine Corps. So you can imagine what kind of demeanor he has. But he also had a very large heart. But he would use his toughness and his gruffness to make changes in people's lives for the better. And so this guy comes in, he's just ripping on his wife. My wife is terrible, my wife da-da-da-da-da-da. And he said, could you please follow me? And so Pastor Romaine led him to the nursery. Yes, took him right down to the kids. And then he walked over to the pamper table. Mm-hmm. And he took the first pamper off the top of the stack of diapers and he handed it to the guy and he said, put this on, you are acting like a baby. Hey, that's a message that'll stick with you, won't it? You are just a baby. So we don't want to stay there, amen? That's kind of a light amen. We don't want to stay there, amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's grow up, right? Become men. Equip ye like men, it says in the Bible. So it goes on and says here in verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you able. They still had the problem. For you are carnal, worldly. What does that mean? Well, he gives definition right here. He says, for whereas there is among you envying, that jealousy thing, always looking at the Joneses next door, they just got a brand new Corvette, and you want to keep up with them, you're envying them, coveting things. Or envy, like envying somebody that got a promotion and you didn't. Or envying your sister because she's got more stuff than you. He that dies with the most toys wins, kind of thing. And that's just not of the Lord. We have to rebuke that. And move on. That's worldly. That's carnal. It says envying and strife. Now the servant of the Lord must not strive, or another translation says be quarrelsome, but apt to teach and do it in a gentle, soft way, in a way of being, I just love Chelsea's talk. She just said so many great things, is to have community, believers and non-believers alike, with the believers in their hearts, burning with the reason for really reaching out to them is the love of Christ, and to reach in with the love, and to be apt to teach and not to get into strife and arguments and things and say, you know, I'm right and you're wrong and you're going to hell in a handbasket. You know, I mean, that kind of thing. And I mean, that happens. But we have to calm way down. Be truthful and direct and yet have love for that person and go for that. And so there's among you envying and strife. And then the third one is divisions. Oh my, I just hate divisions. Been a pastor for almost 40 years now at this church, and that's a real blessing for me. But I have seen so much drama. Sometimes I feel like I'm the drama king, you know. But there's divisions. Now, right now, there's nothing going on, so I can preach on this freely. It's just great. But from time to time, oh, it's so sad. We got this group over here. Pastor, what do you think? I don't know. Leave me alone. I'm tired of drama. And, you know, what do? And so these things come up. But it's human. I know it is. Gosh, I had a Hell's Angel guy that used to be in charge of 30 Hell's Angels and had his own little thing. And he got saved. He became my mechanic and good friends. And we would laugh about these things after the fact. But he says, you know what? We in the Hell's Angels found out that you couldn't have a pack of motorcycle guys more than 30. Because then they divide. And they get all, you know. And I thought, man, that's about true about the church. You got to watch it after 30 people, you know, because you get these divisions. I got to stop being so cartoony right now. And just, this is serious folk stuff, isn't it? But anyway, that was kind of something that kind of put a light bulb in my mind about it. And so we want to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Move away from carnality, worldliness, which is divisions. You see, they were arguing over who the best preacher was. One was saying, I'm of Paul. The Apostle Paul's the best preacher. And another was saying, I'm of Apollos. And the Apostle Paul just says, you know what? We're just both ministers of the same thing. We're just different. And he says in verse 6, I have planted and Apollos has watered, but it's God that gives the increase. And you know, God is so much bigger than we are. And he accepts so many more denominations than we do. You know, oh yeah. You know, Sherry and I think have been to 14 different kinds of churches. We counted once and we were shocked. She got saved in the Baptist church. And I gave my life back to the Lord. But I was raised Presbyterian. We've been to the Brethren Church and Assemblies of God. And we've just tried them all. And you know, there's sweet, precious Christians in most all of them. And it's just great to know people. I think back in my memory of people I just loved in these different denominations. They all love the Lord. They just have different governments. That's all. They just do things a little different. Some people really feel comfortable in ties. I'm not sure that's true anymore. It seems like we're having more of a move to be more casual. Boy, I'll never forget with Pastor Chuck. I got to give you another Pastor Chuck story. It's so funny. He was up complaining that he had to wear a tie to church in front of his huge congregation that he was teaching. And somebody yelled out, take it off. And you could see his mind working. And all of a sudden, he just threw it on the stage, and everybody cheered. Isn't that cool? I loved it. So, you know, and so I wear ties at funerals and weddings, and that's about it. I don't know if that'll ever change, but on we go, right? But you see, we're all different. We're all different. It's just whatever you know ministers to you. If you have the same message, Jesus Christ crucified, coming again, and you need to come to him with your sin and get rid of it and take his righteousness on and begin to love people, serve people, bless people, and just be after the things of the Spirit. Put away this worldly thinking, this carnal stuff of strife and envy and divisions. These are carnal. You walk as men, the Apostle Paul says. You don't want to be a baby anymore. Let's grow up. Let's grow up. And keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And it's a glorious thing. Amen? Amen. Amen. So there's a good example of that now. Let's turn at the basic scripture that ministers to at the bottom line of all this, James 1. And I want to turn you to this. This is a familiar scripture because verse 21 adds to the real power of verse 22. So we want to look at both of those verses. This is James chapter 1 and verse 21 and verse 22. So James is right past Hebrews. So there you go. Hebrews and then James. James chapter 1 and verse 21 says this. Lay apart all filthiness. Get rid of all filthiness. This is worldly, of course. And superfluity, which means excess of naughtiness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And then what I believe to be the meat of the word is the next verse. Be doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That those that aren't skillful in the word are the ones that aren't using the word. And so the meat is not some deep doctrinal truth that will be given to grow in the Lord, but it's actually just practicing the Word of God. That's what I believe to be the meat of the Word. And I want to show you that through verse 14 back in Hebrews. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Makes it kind of clear here. And so it says in verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, that have grown past the baby stage, even those by reason of use. There's one Bible commentator that says that this Greek means habit. You've made the Word of God, which is the milk of the Word, a habit in your life. And that turns it into strong food for you because it's changing your life. Habit, reason of use, having their senses exercised. Now the Lord tells us that we're really like three kinds of people in being a strong Christian. A soldier. We're soldiers of Jesus Christ. Consider the farmer who labors long in the fields and waits for his fruit. And an athlete that works hard at his sport. He's got a six-pack on his stomach, and he's working hard. Remember the old commercial with Peyton Manning? I know I've told this a lot of times, but it really blessed me. He said, unless you're 22 years old or you're a professional athlete on a football team, just get a bigger shirt, man. Set me free. But anyway, the Bible says that physical exercise profits a little, but spiritual exercise is profitable for this life and also for the next. It brings eternal life. And so this is what verse 14 is saying. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use or habit, or another translation, the NIV, constant use. Remember that Jesus said, you are my disciples indeed, if you continue in my word. And we just accept what he says to us and begin to practice it, and new revelations just spring up in our life. There's never any new truth. The truth is the truth. And the Holy Spirit is the teacher. I will teach you. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever Jesus has said to us. We're told in 2 Peter, let me quote that to you. That's a good one. That's I want to get this right. 2 Peter 1:20, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, but it's given to us by the Holy Spirit through men of old, holy men from old. And so we are taught all things by the Holy Spirit, and He's not going to withhold anything from you. It's the doing of it that makes it become vital in your life and matures you and makes you a person of strong meat, that is, in the participation in the Word, integrating the Word into your life. The men of Corinth, they seemed to have an idea that they had more knowledge than other Christians, and they became uppity and holier than thou. They looked down their noses at normal Christians. Actually, the whole deal in Corinth became the beginning of a heresy in the church called Gnosticism, which, as you can imagine, Gnosticism means something about knowledge. I've got more knowledge than you, ha-ha. And they became very prideful. And Paul had to say to them, you sit as kings, and you talk as rich men, but I've suffered beatings for my faith. Quite a contrast in what the real thing is and the fake thing. They were worshiping at the God of intellect. And Paul told them very clearly in chapter 8, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, knowledge puffs up, makes you more prideful, but love, that builds up. Now, there's nothing wrong with learning and taking in all the knowledge you can and digging in the Word to find nuggets from God. But the strong meat lies in learning how to love. For without love, I'm nothing, and I produce nothing. Now abide faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And so just relying on knowledge, that'll puff you up, make you think that you should be called doctor something or whatever. But love, that builds up. And the strong meat is learning that, flowing in it, using what you have to reach out to others as best you can. That's what it's about. And you will not be dull of hearing anymore. You'll be hearing from the Lord, learning of God, being empowered by Jesus. And it's awesome. All right, well, with that then, I'd like to just, what else do I want to say here? Yes, well, I wanted to give you also the Living Bible, a rendition of it. It says, practicing what is right. Practicing doing right. That's what it's about. Now, I'd like to just go ahead and end today with something that Jesus said that kind of sums this whole thing up for us. That's really, really good. And it has to do with His meeting with the woman at the well. And let's turn now to John chapter 4, verse 31. Now Jesus had ministered to the woman at the well, and you know the story that He told her she could have living water springing up into everlasting life. She was so blessed, she ran off to Samaria to tell her friends, and they all came to see Jesus. And they said, you know, we believed when you told us, but now we really believe because we've heard it from His mouth. And they just got Messiah'd. They saw the Messiah. They were blessed with the Messiah. And the men came back, the disciples, to Jesus, who they had left at the well, with lunch. They brought lunch back to Him. And it says in verse 31 of John 4, in the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. But He said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Be good to learn about this meat that He has to eat, that they know not of, and it's not what they have there for Him. Therefore said the disciples one to another, has any man brought Him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of Him who sent me, and to finish His work. That's pretty clear, isn't it? The meat of the Word, the meat of what God has for you and displayed through Jesus Christ, is to do the will of Him who sent you and to finish that work where you've been and have been touched by the Lord to do. Do you know that it's so important to God? If you even give a glass of water to someone in the name of the Lord, Jesus said, truly, you will not lose your reward for just giving a glass of water. And I think about Kelsey here, and I, you know, when she first was talking this morning, she, you know, seemed a little bit like, maybe this isn't much, but this is what I have to share. But man, my heart was exploding with how important this is to God. And that's what I felt from you guys too. Is that right? Is that right? Yes, it is. It's so important what these guys are doing. And it's so important what you do. You never know, as you cast your bread upon the water, how God will use that and return it in praise. He knows how to take your loaves and your fish and bless them and break them and multiply them. It's amazing what God can do with just a few words from you to someone else about Him. It's incredibly wonderful. My meat is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. The true meat of the Word is just doing it. Just doing it. So let's pray together. Let's pray. So Father, we thank You so much, God, for this lesson today. And Lord, we know that there's deep things to dig out of Your Word. We never want to stop doing that. To study to show ourselves approved, good workmen unto God, that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And yet, Lord, we know just putting to action these words is what brings the meat, the strong food for people to eat and be encouraged with, and for us to grow thereby, pleasing You, Lord. For we were created for Your pleasure. And we thank You, Father. Please continue to bless us and lead us into all righteousness for Your name's sake. And we thank You that Your name is Jesus. Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We'd like to be careful to give you an invitation, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, that you can come to the prayer room right there. RJ's doing that, pointing right there. It is. It's ready. And we have free Bibles to give you so you can begin to learn of the Lord. And if you want to come and meet with Jesus today for the first time. So God bless you and continue to lead you every day in every way, getting you ready for the great marriage supper of the Lamb. That's a coming. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.